我们是的 Buddha， 我们是的 Dharma， 我们是的 Sangha。We're now approaching the end of the original first edition of How to Grow a Lotus Blossom. In this later edition, the second edition that I've been reading from, there are further visions that took place over a period of a number of years. And I will be talking about at least some of them. But with regard to the experiences and teachings that were given to her master in 1976 and the beginning of 1977, we're approaching the end of that period now. In the next few talks, we go through the five columns once again in greater detail. I'm going to try to point out to each of the five columns both the help and the need side as we go along. This talk is on the first of these chapters, and it's on the first of the five columns. It's entitled the first column, Eternal Meditation. It's on page 129 of the second edition. The master says, "It is morning. I am again going upwards above the Buddha land. I ascend to the place where I was ordained together with Maka Kashyo." Maka Kashyo, remember, the epitome of true discipleship. "I ask what I should do and am told to wait. I see both Maka Kashyo and I quite clearly. We are both golden. We wait for a long time. I am told I should not be standing, and I sit down. After a long time, I am told, I shall not call you today. You should go back down soon. I immediately return. When I do so, or when I meditate, I must do so in the place of ordination. The mind of a beginner is the purest of all minds." She quotes, "End and beginning here, return unto the source," from the Sandokai. She goes on to say, "When the Lord calls, I will go to Him. Whilst waiting for His call, I will do His will. This is eternal meditation. This Shasta Abbey here, is the Buddha land. These training monks are in the monastery of the Lord. How great is the Lord? How joyous is His service? Our petty minds argue about their own concepts of Him and quarrel about sectarian emanations. But that which is the Lord of the house, while smiling at our cardboard replicas, sends down His rays to all so that, if they truly look, they may see beyond their own facades. This is true love in all its glory. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha." If we think about beginner's mind here, and about the first column, you know, what is it that's happening in that first column? You know, what is the help, first of all? What is the help? The help that's in that first column is the help that comes through pure meditation, through childlike trust turns toward the Eternal for help. The help is the fact that there is that place to which we can turn. There is a refuge within our own heart. The need is that which reaches out to that refuge. That in us which is pained, which is confused, which longs for a true refuge, which gets confused by the worldly emanations, as Reverend Master puts it. Secular emanations is a great way of putting it. Gets confused by all these facades that claim to be a refuge, but in the end are not. That's the need. And the help is the fact that actually there is a true refuge, and that it never despises us or looks down upon us because we get confused. And because sometimes in our pain we stab out in the wrong direction and do harm. While we may judge ourselves at times very harshly, it never judges us. River Master is expressing, you know, very, very perfectly, I think. I don't think it can be said better than what she's saying here. This is true love in all its glory. That which is the Lord of the house, while smiling at our cardboard replicas, sends down His rays to all so that if they truly look, they may see beyond their own facades. Reverend Master used to say, man stands in his own shadow. Only he can turn and see the light. Whenever we really cry out for help, well, there it is. She goes on to say, eternal meditation is the meaning of this first column of light and its second aspect. Its first being, the first aspect being its appearance, which I described before. You know, that light, ray of light coming out of the dark clouds. No matter how dark it gets, if we truly look, we can see that ray of light, that point from which that point of light in the darkness. Eternal meditation here is a really important term. When we say that we meditate, what we really mean, whether we know it or not, is that we join with eternal meditation. Because the true meditation, which is simply the natural, unrestricted, unrestrictable attitude, activity of Buddha nature, is always going on. So when we sit up straight and relax and lay our burden in the hands of the Eternal, we simply join with that which is, we join our volition and our wish with that which is always going on. The eternal meditation, which is the activity, the unending activity of Buddha nature. So this endless, beginningless refuge within the heart is the meaning of this first column. She says, even in the darkest place, the truth may be seen and heard. Thus, meditation is possible for eternity. She might have left off the is, and she could have just said, because if anyone ever knew this to be true, she did. Thus, meditation is for eternity. There is always light in darkness, and the Buddha may be seen therein if we have the willingness to look. Remember that, and this is so easily again obscured by our own judgment of ourselves, that this willingness to look is not some special ability of a privileged few. It's not a special ability of special holy beings, gifted beings. It's just that whenever in the pain and confusion of our own humanity, we just get a hold of ourselves and turn within and look up rather than down. And there it is. It's not some heroic willingness. It's just that willingness to, for a moment, let go of our own opinion of ourselves and of others and just turn within. She says, the third aspect of eternal meditation is its use. You know, what use does the eternal put this to help the need? To what use does the eternal put this eternal meditation to help the need? The answer is, its use is to bring peace and freedom in all the situations that life brings. That is its help. That is the way the help uses the eternal meditation. It's a little awkward. I don't know if you see what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to express the extremely non-driver seat place from which this teaching is coming. She says, sitting in this eternal meditation, I watch that which the world regards as good or bad come and go as reflections in a mirror. All is ever changing. The mirror is clear. It does not retain the reflections. However wild life gets, and I speak at a time when we've been having another little episode of wildness. But however wild it gets, you know, all we have to do is just keep walking a straight line of meditation, faith, perceptual practice. The conditions that so often have to do with some form of karma coming due, these come and go as reflections in a mirror. The eternal is. And whatever the reflections in the mirror may be, however horrific they may seem, however ugly, however threatening, however enticing, they are unrealities. The true reality is the eternal. And the true life of the eternal is eternal meditation, which is also our true life. She says, the purpose of eternal meditation is the cessation of suffering, the third of the Buddha's Four Noble Truths. For by holding on to nothing and pushing nothing away, I am free of attachments. In other words, when I truly meditate, I know that freedom from clinging that is my birthright and your birthright. She says, the fifth aspect of this first column of light is its root. It's oneness with all the other aspects, the oneness that penetrates the universe. Every time I meditate, I ascend the first column of light. Earth penetrates heaven whenever Zazen is truly done. This is the full meaning of the first of the five branches of the diamond scepter. Note that in this explanation, which as I said is the most detailed of all, Reverend Master is speaking of each of the five columns in terms of five aspects. First of all, the aspect of its appearance. Secondly, the aspect of its meaning. Thirdly, the aspect of its use. Fourth, the aspect of its purpose. Fifth, the aspect of its root. That is, the fifth aspect is always the oneness with all the other columns. The inseparability of any of these aspects from any of the others. In other words, and this makes it a lot more simple, these are all just aspects of what we call the eternal. Remember that, as I tried to show here in this example, and I will try to show in the other column, when we discuss the other columns, that when we speak of use and purpose, this is not the use to which I put something, and it's not my purpose. This is the use to which the Eternal puts it, and it is the Eternal's purpose. This world is not subject to my personal will. The position of someone relative to this first column is always the position of discipleship, the position of beginner's mind. In this column, we are always aware of our human need for a genuine refuge. And whenever we look with unclouded eyes, the eyes of true faith, in other words, for that refuge, there is. This is the teaching of the first column. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha.